the residue of our unhealthiness begins to live through our organization. So it's essential, it's absolutely vital that we prioritize our health first, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, so that we can lead like Jesus, so that we can be a servant leader, so that we can give, and then all of this energy goes out. We got to have those avenues for it to come back in.
We're so glad to have you along with us today. We are starting a great podcast for Lead Like Jesus that every person listening is going to be able to relate to. This is Karen Conley. I am in studio with my husband, Chris Conley, who is a trustee for Lead Like Jesus. This particular topic comes because it's right where we're at.
Since we're talking to people who are interested in leadership and people who are leading in their professional careers, leading personally, leading in different ministries, frequently, the biggest problem that leaders have is their own busyness. They're so busy all the time because the more of a leader you are, the more responsibility you have, the more opportunity you have. And with that busyness comes this sense of being overwhelmed. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about how do you deal with this issue of feeling overwhelmed? How do you deal with some of the stress, pressure that's involved in that? But also we want to not only talk about how to be overwhelmed, but how to also maybe turn the corner in a proactive way, in a preventative way, and know how to pace out our schedule a little bit so that we avoid this constant cycle of being overwhelmed again and again.
Well, and I think this topic in particular will apply to every single person. If you're leading in a home, I have been in that stage where I feel overwhelmed. As you just said, one of the things that happens as you do have things go well in leadership roles, more opportunities come about. You and I have kind of been in this season where gratefully, the Lord has opened up some opportunities, but how it is that you're able to navigate those opportunities and keep the main things, and not succumb to those feelings, whether they're positive things or negative things, sometimes they can leave you either way feeling overwhelmed. As we were talking about this, Chris, one of the thoughts that is primary when I get at one of those places where I feel like, okay, I've been in a healthy place, things are going well, all of a sudden it's not quite that same way. And one of the first radars, first flags up for me, and our suggestion for you for today, if you feel like you are overwhelmed, one of the first things you need to do is get out of your head. I don't know if anybody else relates to that, but you have firsthand experience of Karen needing to get out of her head.
Well, actually, yeah, this is kind of comical to me because when I hear you say that, I think about the mental gymnastics that occurs in your head on a regular basis and how that gets accelerated in these seasons that are kind of the peak seasons of busyness and where you're beginning to feel overwhelmed. And sometimes in our conversations, when you are in your own head, then all of a sudden you lose perspective. And you begin to lose perspective of, yes, there's a normal cycle to life. There's a normal flow that maybe we just came out of a season where we had the opportunity to pace things out. We had the opportunity to slow down just a little bit. But, you know, we've got to gain perspective on, is this busyness, is this a state of life? Is this a constant thing? Is this a problem that is unending? Or is this just a particular season? And then we get so emotionally engaged and we get so intertwined in that process, we need to get some wise counsel. That's where, you know, you and I are able to talk to one another and give one another perspective. But we need to get someone else's perspective of, is my busyness at an insane level? You know, is it at a pace that's unsustainable? Because there are times as leaders, we become more efficient at what we're doing. And we become so accustomed to our own level of busyness that it's no longer busy to us. It's just our normal pace. But we're running the car at an RPM level that's unhealthy. We're borderline in the red zone. And as we're in the red zone, we're wearing and tearing that engine down. But yet we don't recognize it because it's just the way we always drive. And we need that wise counsel of others, and we need to be able to compare our life with other leaders and kind of see how they manage the tension, how they manage the busyness, in order to kind of understand, are those mental gymnastics that are going on in our head, are they accurate or inaccurate?
for all of us in the increased pace of our life, it's really easy to isolate. And we become so performance-driven or task-oriented that the margin that we no longer have usually minimizes our relational connections. And so if you're at a place right now that you're overwhelmed, you need to go find a trusted friend. You need to go find a respected leader or somebody that would be a source of wise counsel to you. It may even be your spouse, but to just be able to talk through, even as a release of what's bottled up in you, to be able to make sure that you can kind of step back and go, okay, we all have one life to live. And there is no point in us living that life in such a frantic, stressed, overwhelmed place that we are not enjoying and living with the joy that we're intended to.
Well, and I think something that's very important when we talk about get out of your head is that there's also, for leaders, there's this sense that if it's simply about hours and the volume of hours we work, we're high-capacity people. A lot of times we can handle, you know, these work weeks that push into the 60 plus hours a week. And there's a certain adrenaline that kicks in. There's a certain I'm going to conquer, or, you know, we're going to kill this particular project kind of thing. But what we don't factor in is the emotional pressure. What we don't factor in are all the emotional dynamics that come with the highs and lows that are involved in this process. So it's not, being overwhelmed is not simply about the hours. It's not about, you know, the volume and the productivity all the time. It's about everything that comes along with that, both how it affects relationships in the workplace in a professional way, but also how it affects those relationships at home in a personal way. And so there's this cumulative effect that occurs that is associated with the hours. That's really more where the sense of becoming overwhelmed occurs than in the actual hours that you put in.
One of the ideas that I've recently blogged on is this idea of an emotional calendar. I don't know if that sounds kind of crazy on the front side of things, but really it came out of this idea that our world in particular is ministry. So we are frequently dealing with people in very stressful situations, mainly people come to us when things are not going well. There's an illness, or there's a divorce, or there's conflict. Even as a leader of an organization, you're dealing with conflict and people with personnel issues in any capacity that you're a leader. And we can't just pretend like 60 minutes of an appointment for telling someone they're getting a promotion and a 60-minute appointment that is you having to fire someone has the same emotional impact on you. That at the end of the day, when you've had to deal with heavy stuff, there needs to be some acknowledgement and adjustment to our world to compensate for all of that energy draining things that we do. You and I both know, I mean, a lot of those things are unplanned and you can't calendar that in. But there's enough that you can know, okay, right now we're going to be dealing with some hard issues at work. I need to be intentional to back off my calendar a little bit and give myself a little bit of margin so that I can just have that opportunity to recoup. I can have that opportunity to just allow myself to be human.
Well, and that's where we've used this term overwhelmed. Another term that is frequently used in this context is someone feeling burned out. And the thing that I would encourage people to do is if you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed, anxious, potentially burned out, then yes, not only seek wise counsel, but also keep a journal. And as you keep that journal, really what you want to do is you want to evaluate the pressures that are associated with work and then try to evaluate, okay, there's a certain pressure associated with just performance and you've got to meet certain deadlines. You've got to meet certain revenue goals. You know, there are things that are pressures associated with winning, basically, and there's pressures associated with not hitting those goals. And yet so many times we compartmentalize those things. And we just run right through them, never thinking that they take an effect upon us. And so it would be wise, both as you seek wise counsel and as you just journal yourself, to not only look at what is occurring in your professional life that creates this busyness, but what are the emotional dynamics that is the roller coaster, the ebb and flow of that? Because though our world might be ministry, everybody's world is relationships. And everybody lives in this world of either encouraging people or discouraging people. Everybody lives in the world of, in one way or another, they're being impressed by people, or people maybe are, they're disappointing people, or people are disappointing them. And so anytime you're in a leadership role, and you've got to come alongside to lead people, to manage people, to give developmental feedback to people, you shouldn't be robotic. You should feel things. And not only should you try to anticipate what they're feeling and to approach the subject in the right way, but also you have certain feelings about delivering bad news. It's really difficult emotionally to deliver bad news. No one likes to do that. And so if you had to deliver bad news all week, then you know what? You're probably going to be more tired at the end of the week. You're probably going to need to factor that in and say, you know, I really need to prioritize a day of rest more than normal. I need to really prioritize ways for me to regroup more than normal.
There's so much more that we could say on that particular topic, but for sake of our podcast time, let's move on, because really what you talked about, another outlet, yes, absolutely, is rest. That is something that sometimes we are in the battle so long that we kind of become numb to it. And our hope in delivering this type of topic is to catch you before you are burned out, to say you need to hear if there is a certain level of pressure that has been sustained over time. It is not sustainable forever, and that your body has a way of getting your attention. And a lot of times that occurs through illness or through things like that, that what we want to be able to do, not only get out of your head, but second, is to prioritize rest.
Well, and in that priority, let's not reinvent the wheel. All right. God gives us that priority that we should prioritize one day a week to simply rest. And then when we rest, what we're really trying to do is we're trying to set that day aside to reflect upon the glory of God and the goodness of God. You know, to set that day aside to rest and just simply give yourself permission to not necessarily have to be productive. You know, we build ourselves into such a production mode that sometimes if we're not being productive, we feel like we're doing something wrong. And so give yourself permission to rest, but then in that process, also you refuel. What are the things that fill you up? Maybe, you know, on those days of rest, you know, you prioritize going to a movie, or you prioritize going to dinner with friends, or you prioritize, you know, what are the things you enjoy doing? Going to play golf or whatever it might be. What are the things that refresh you? What are the things that refuel you? What are the things that fill you up? There's a lot of additional things we can say on rest, but I wonder if we were to survey our listening audience, what percentage of you actually can say that I consistently take and prioritize my day of rest? Do I do that, you know, 100% of the time? I doubt that's the case. Do I do that 75% of the time? I would say probably the majority of us do not have an intentional plan for resting. And I would say you want to start there.
And even in the most simplistic of ways, there are seasons where I have just had to say, okay, His mercies are new every morning. I am swamped. I'm overwhelmed. I have too much to do. I probably need to work late into the night. But I know that for my health and for my relationships, that really what I need to do, just need to turn it off. And I need to go get a good night's sleep, because this unsustainable pace of 3 and 4 hours of sleep, I don't care how bionic you think you are, or how much caffeine that you intake.
I affirm that 100%. Mark, Annika, and myself love it when you decide, hey, I've had enough, and you just go to bed. You know, we'd much rather you go to bed than hear the mental gymnastics that are occurring in your head. We do not want to hear them come out.
There is no doubt that I have a switch, and I'm like, I have hit my wall. Good night. And
yes,
that is what happens when Karen Conley gets overwhelmed. So today has enough worries of its own. There are times, just no matter whether you're a CEO and you have huge decisions on the line, or you are the stay-at-home mom, that there is a time where, in that sense of being overwhelmed, you just need to turn it off. You have done as much as you can for the day, and it is time to allow a new day to come.
You know, we talk about this frequently, but also in the world of rest, this is a different type of rest. But, you know, one of the things that we'll talk about is your devotional time. And we call that a priority time. It's a daily unhurried, unhurried is the key word. It's a daily unhurried time with God to read the Word of God, to know the God of the Word. All right. So the other thing I would encourage you, sometimes in the midst of your pressure, in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of, you know, a chaotic morning and everything you're about to face during the course of the day, start the day by resting in His presence. Start the day by being in His Word. Start the day by praying. Start the day with this priority time, because it's the one priority that determines all priorities. It's the one priority that's going to give you perspective about the rest of your day. And also, if you will pray, here's something interesting. I have found that if oftentimes I'll conclude my priority time by looking at my calendar, and then when I look at my calendar, I see what appointments I've got that day, and then if I'll pray through those appointments, it will help me have better discernment about how to handle those appointments.
Chris, I love that segue, except for the fact, you know, I'm linear and I have my list here of the things we're going through, and you keep going ahead of me on those lists. But you're exactly right. And in that idea of rest and in that idea of priority time, if we've said first to get out of your head, second to rest, what you just talked about really is that combination of rest and our third point, which is to remember His faithfulness. Sometimes when you are overwhelmed for whatever reason, everything begins to look half empty. Everything begins to feel insurmountable. Everything begins to feel just kind of heavy. And all of us can relate to decisions and pressure points where we begin to doubt that God is going to come through. And one of the best things that you can do as you are starting your time with the Lord each morning, as you are in His Word, is to also really, it goes back to the journal being one of the easiest ways to do this, but to be able to go back and go, okay, let me specifically remember how God has shown His faithfulness to me in the past. Because when we can go, oh yes, you know what? I have been in this valley before, and He did find a way to get me out. And I've had a different situation, but some of the same feelings before of pressure, and God took care of that. And how many times have I made a huge problem seem so huge, and then it never even came to fruition? So if you can be intentional to go back and keep, you know, even if it's a, you know, in the margin of your Bible or the inside of your journal, a list of God's faithfulness in over the course of your life, that's that go-to place to go, okay, He's got this too. Whatever mountain I'm in front of right now, He has this too.
Well, you know, one of the things that you're talking about here, and it's a key word, remember, okay? Remember His faithfulness in your past. Well, let me flip that for a second. Perhaps one of the greatest sins that we see throughout the pages of Scripture is when we forget His faithfulness. And so, yes, it's important to remember, but do you recognize how easy it is to forget? Do we recognize that once God has brought us through a season and we've seen answered prayer, if we're not careful, we take that for granted and we focus on the next thing and we forget how He carried us through a season, how He provided through a season, how He cared for us through a season. And so I could not agree with you more that we need to remember. But sometimes it's helpful also to think of it from that opposite perspective, that the opposite of remembering is forgetting. And when we forget, it causes us to forget His faithfulness, which then causes us to not believe in His faithfulness in the future. And we have less faith because we have forgotten. And so the thing that we have to do there is when we go through a difficult season, a season where we're feeling overwhelmed, this is important as to when you journal how God carried you through the season. Journal how God brought you to the other side. You know, how did you cross the river and get into the promised land, so to speak? And if we don't journal those things, then we don't have the accumulation of our faith. What should happen is the more we remember, our faith accumulates. And so now, in this sense, it's kind of like it's a parallel with the verse that when you're faithful to little, God will put you in charge of much. Well, when you remember a little and you remember a little bit more, then your faith is building upon itself. Now you are big. You are ready for the next bigger assignment. And you have a God who has delivered in the past that now you have the faith, faith meaning confident trust, that he will deliver in the future. And you can look at that mountain in front of you and not be overwhelmed by the mountain, but actually have confidence that God can use you to move the mountain.
I hope that this has been an encouragement. Again, if you are at a place today that you are just feeling overwhelmed, no matter what the reason, first, get out of your head. Second, you need to prioritize rest. Third, remember his faithfulness. And fourth, this seems so absolutely practical, but it's so necessary. It is so important that you have some physical outlet, that you, not because you need to lose weight, not because it's your New Year's resolution, but just that opportunity to go break a sweat, let out your frustration, let all the dopamine and all the things,
endorphins
that are released in your body, physically put you in a healthier place. So for some people, that's like, somebody else, tell me I need to go work out. It really has nothing to do with that. I work out more because of my mental health than I do anything physical.
When you think about the physical outlet, it does give your mind the ability to rest while your body works. And it is amazing how many times while I'm working out, how many times while I'm running, then it provides this window for my mind to just kind of be on cruise control. But while it's on cruise control, these great ideas pop into my mind. It's like a creativity session. And so I'm never intending for it to be productive, but it's amazing how many times I kind of relax in the moment. I do enjoy the physical outlet. There is a benefit from the physical outlet, but then at the same time, there is something that happens in our mental capacity that gives us the ability to receive in those moments. And so we're so preoccupied the rest of the time, we're so focused the rest of the time, it's almost like our mind relaxes, it rests a little bit, and then it allows you to have these spontaneous thoughts about things that really will come into a productive way later.
We talked earlier about the term an emotional calendar. I'll throw this other one out there. There's emotional residue. As a human being in relationships and dealing with pressures in life, some of that exercise, that physical outlet, is giving you a healthy way. Instead of going home and being short with your spouse or your family after a hard day at work, you're able to just kind of sweat off those frustrations, the things that you're kind of carrying from the day. And so, again, it's not just healthy for your body. It's healthy for your mind, and it's healthy for your other relationships to prioritize some exercise, some way of breaking a sweat.
Well, and if we're going to lead like Jesus, what we do is we're leading by example. And not only are we leading by example, we're serving. And so the ultimate expression of our leadership is that we're constantly giving to others, we're serving to others, and so there's lots and lots of energy that is flowing out of us. We need to have these times of physical exercise, and there's times we haven't talked about a vacation, we haven't talked about, you know, those kind of other outlets, but we need to receive. In that, we've got to be filled up before we can be poured out, all right? And so it's so vital that, you know, like you said, there's this emotional calendar, there's this emotional residue that at times we got to take care of ourselves as the leader, and it's more important for us to be healthy. And if we're healthy, we'll reproduce health. But if we're unhealthy, then what happens is that unhealthy people create an unhealthy culture, all right? They create an unhealthy dynamic. The residue of our unhealthiness begins to live through our organization. So it's essential, it's absolutely vital that we prioritize our health first, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, so that we can lead like Jesus, so that we can be a servant leader, so that we can give, and then all of this energy goes out, we got to have those avenues for it to come back in.
You know, this is something that if you are wired as a leader, this is a tension to manage. You and I have these conversations pretty regularly because...
It's my fault.
Well, we are...
Yep, you agree.
But there's just that tendency that as more opportunities come and you want to be a good steward of them, that we can get to a place where we've said yes to too much. And it really goes back to... On a daily basis and just in a big picture way, are you putting the big rocks in first? And really, the things that we're talking about today are the big rocks. You know, it is, you know, having community and getting out of your head. You're involving other people in your life. It's having the rest that God calls us to. It's having that physical outlet. It's remembering his faithfulness, being in his word. And the last one was worship. It is that place of when you are overwhelmed, it is chasing out all the lies of the enemy. It's getting alone with the Lord in whatever format that looks like for you. If it's putting your headphones on and listening to some worship music, if it's just getting alone in a place where you have some privacy and praying.
Well, it's that sense there's private worship that precedes public worship. And so that private worship is that priority time that we've talked about. But then that really prepares us for public worship. There is something about being with other people that edifies you. Mm-hmm. There's something that happens in a corporate sense that is dynamic where God inhabits the praises of his people and that it gives us perspective. And that when we come and we worship, we realize that he's the great I am. And in contrast, we are the great I am not, and that he's in control and we're not in control. And it's really about his world and not my world, and that we need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will fall into place. Well, how many times as a leader do we need to gain that perspective that all these other things will fall into place? Worship is about me putting him first. It's the first day of my week. It's the first everything. It should be the first priority of each day of my week as well. And so worship is that thing that just kind of downsizes us. You know, in fast food world, everything's upsized. We need to downsize ourselves, and we need to realize kind of what John the Baptist says, that he must increase, I must decrease, and I realize that he's the king and I'm the servant. And in that way, it puts the perspective of where my world fits into his world.
Well, I hope this podcast has been helpful to you today. I know this hits us right where we're at. Our desire is to put truth in front of you that will help you to be able to lead like Jesus. We'd love for you, if you want to write a review on iTunes, that would be fantastic for us. Also, go to leadlikejesus.com. There are tons of great resources there available to help you be the leader that you want to be.